This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We're an emotional basket case, DiPietro. Our music tells us that every time we come into the show. Before we analyze, because I don't want to analyze too quickly, let me go around the horn and say goodbye and hello and have pleasantries with these guys. Good morning, Chris Canty. You must be in a superb mood this morning.
No, I'm in a great mood, Dave. My Yankees have won six in a row, and lo and behold, the Los Angeles Lakers will not be playing the L.A. Clippers in the Western Conference Finals because of the Denver Nuggets taking care of their business in Game 7. Who knew?
Yeah, unbelievable. What a collapse.
I'm not a LeBrick fan.
What a collapse from the L.A. Clippers.
And that was an embarrassment. Let's face it, that was an embarrassment.
And we'll get into it in a couple of minutes. But before we do, let's welcome you in, Mr. Basket Case, our emotional roller coaster on the show. Good morning, Rick DiPietro.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Chris. This is what I like, though, Dave, around the horn. Yesterday, you went straight to the horn. Like, let's explore the space a little bit.
I understand. Listen, I was not in a great space yesterday, right? I was not in a great mindset yesterday. It's tough coming off the Giants' loss like they did the night before, and I was not probably at the top of my game today. Slept well, feeling good, lot to get into. I feel like I'm at a higher level. So we go around the horn.
But you want to hear? I don't understand about you being in a bad mood yesterday, Dave. I mean, it's not like you thought the Giants were going to win. Turns out the team was competitive in the game. I don't know exactly what you were looking for in Monday Night Football.
You're right. But a loss is still a loss, and watching your team lose and thinking they have a chance. And, you know, it's not like they didn't have a chance in the game. They had multiple opportunities. They couldn't capitalize in key moments, and I was frustrated. I was upset about it. Overall, I thought they played well. I thought there's a lot of positivity, but still frustrated at the loss. I mean, you have a 19-play drive that ends with nothing. You start first and goal at the four that ends in a field goal. If you capitalize on those, you're up 10-3. You have the football. Maybe you go and put some points. You get picked off. So, yeah, they were good. But I thought they could have been better, and I thought a play here, a play there, and they could have won that game. So I'll be better today, though.
Okay, well, help me out with this one, Dave. Yeah. Would you rather your team lose like the Giants lost on Monday night or like Rico's Jets loss on Sunday afternoon?
Stop it. That's
no,
like
I'm
saying
just you... saying, because you sound like you're frustrated. I'm saying, well, would you rather have a blowout or would you rather have plays in the game not go your way
I'd rather
and that
compete.
Be the reason why you lose?
I would rather not be the laughing stock of the NFL after week one. And I don't think the Giants were, and I think the Jets were. For some reason, this is all of a sudden a debate, and I don't know why. If you have two eyes and you watch both teams over the weekend, you saw the Giants were okay and were competitive, and the Jets were not okay and were not competitive. And all of a sudden, this has become a big issue on Twitter and on other shows, and I'm not exactly sure why, to be honest with you. It seems plain as day. The Giants were pretty good, and the Jets were not.
Well,
plain
Dave, as day. You could be Stevie Wonder and see that the Giants had a better performance than the Jets did this weekend. I mean, it's obvious. So
I mean,
you don't have to get into the back and forth of the debate.
Just give Stevie a peek.
It's clear. One team is headed in the right direction. The other one is not.
No, clearly not. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on DCR appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Dan Graziano will join us at 10:30 later this morning. All right, Rick. We want to get to the NBA. Obviously, just an utter collapse from the LA Clippers, up 3-1, falling apart. Now we don't get the dream matchup. They've still never been to the Western Conference Finals. But we'd be remiss if we didn't start with your wonderful team's performance last night. Islanders with a 2-1 win in overtime, double overtime, in fact. What a great game it was, and what a great game for the Islanders.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys are trying to bog me down in negativity, talking about the Jets and the Giants losing and everything else. I mean, I did that to myself. I actually watched some Jets highlights this morning. I mean, don't even get me started with.
With the Islanders. Don't start with the Jets.
Lights.
Well, at least give Sam Darnold some easy throws. Get him into the
game
early.
Come on, let it go. Anyway. We'll get to the Lev Bell injury. We'll get to Frank Gore, your 37-year-old running back. Start with your Islanders. It was a great win. They saved the season. Continue. Come on.
This is how much I love this job and I love you guys in this show. Listen to what I did for you guys last night. I decided. Executive decision that after the third period, I was going to shut the game off and I was going to watch the rest of the game this morning so the emotion would be raw.
I got to be honest, I don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you could have the season in the balance going to overtime and shut it off, put your head on the pillow and go to sleep. Like, I cannot operate like that.
Because I was yelled at. Let's face it, it wasn't my decision. I woke up the baby when Beauvillier takes that penalty. I screamed and I woke up the baby. So I got yelled at to shut it off. And I can't. Let's be honest, Dave. I mean, you heard me. Yes, I'm teetering. I mean, I got the Mets. They can't get a hit with runners in scoring position. They lose. I could, God forbid, I take another loss. Talk about not sleeping. Islanders lose. That game last night, I would have been devastated. Done. So I watched this morning. We get through the... Thank God for the penalty kill. They start overtime on the PP. Varlamov was great. And finally, we scored on the PP. And then you have Shattenkirk turns the puck over.
Of course.
Again, this is coaching 101. I mean, listen, I'm available. Peter Laviolette, if you listen, I'm available. This is coaching 101. Turnovers at both blue lines. Shattenkirk turns the puck over. Lee comes down, makes a nice pass. Sergachev, brutal play. What are you doing? You got the best goal in the NHL. Let him face the shot. Eberle buries it. Yada D, yada do. We're off to a game six. It's nice. Well, what did you expect? I mean, you're talking about one of the most resilient teams in the NHL. What did you expect?
I got to tell you, if the Islanders win this series, I'm done.
Islanders win this series, they got a chance to win the cup.
I'm telling you, if the Lightning fall apart.
So you think they'll beat Dallas?
It's a toss-up. That series is a toss-up.
If the Lightning fall apart and the Islanders win three in a row, I'm done. I'm going into hiding. I cannot tolerate that. I can't tolerate the Islanders winning the cup. Are you crazy?
Well, you see how different it looks without Braden Point.
Yeah,
he makes all the difference for that team.
He's a complete game changer.
Complete game changer. I mean, the games that he hasn't played in, either they've been one goal, really close games, or the Islanders have won. So, listen, this is the risk you run, though, if you don't finish a team off. You saw that with the Clippers. You don't give a feisty team second life. And that's what they did last night. They didn't finish us off.
And that's where we are. And now we go into a game six tomorrow night, 7:30, right here on 98.7 ESPN. By the way, big news. I don't know if you have a caw. This is really, really big news right now coming down. Big Ten expected to announce later today a return to football in October, guys.
Yeah, we knew that was coming.
October 17th was the date that they were targeting and try to bring everybody back. But they're saying that what changed was their ability to have the rapid testing and being able to test guys daily just so you can make sure you do an effective job of contact tracing and trying to mitigate the spread. But I mean, that's what it came down to, right? You were going to have a significant change in the information that they had on the health front in order to have a return to play. And based on what we're seeing with these other conferences around college football, the Big Ten felt like this was something that was feasible. And with all the public pressure that Kevin Warren has been receiving and the ability to have the testing available, I think that's what's pushing this toward being able to play again.
Yeah, so it sounds like we're not too far from getting back to four of the five power conferences playing college football, and that'll be October, it sounds like. All right, so do you have anything more on the Islanders? I don't want to stand in the way, and you didn't say we never get a chance to talk Islanders.
What else would you like me to say? It was a 2-1 game. Varlamov played great. You finally scored on the power play. You won the challenge,
which was unbelievable, right, to not be down 2-1.
Yeah. I mean, I said they'd win. They won. What I would like, and it aggravates me because people always complain we never talk hockey, is that when we do talk hockey, no one calls in. If you want to talk Islanders, Dave just opened the show with the Islanders.
I did.
So call.
Right.
We can talk about it.
We can. 800-919-3776. It's on the table. It's a beautiful buffet.
And that's all
table.
You can ask
it's
for.
Right there.
It's on the table, Dave. And as far as the Big Ten's concerned, I mean, what did you expect? You had the assistant president of Nebraska, Ted, got caught on a hot mic. Did he not learn from Brody Van Wagenen?
No.
He's saying the announcement was going to come later on Tuesday.
Very odd.
How about just assume every microphone is on? Do what we do. There's a microphone in front of your face. Assume it's on.
We don't do that.
I assume every microphone I'm in front of, unless I press the off button, is on.
I'm with Rico.
I made that mistake one time, and I won't do it again.
Did you?
Yeah, I got caught going in the bathroom. I got yelled at. They're like, your microphone is on. We can hear you go in the bathroom.
Were you like Drebin, where you're like singing and dancing around in the bathroom?
Yeah, I was having a good time. It was a relief. Like I might have given off like it was that good.
Wow.
Oh, so good. Oh,
it was one of those. Good. Holding it for a while, just I was like, oh, what a relief.
All right, so Islanders
win. That was
win.
Me watching the Nuggets and the Clippers last night.
You know what's funny? Relief. You keep thinking. Let's transition over to the NBA. We'll take the Islanders' calls, 800-919-3776. But at least for me, I'm watching that game. The Clippers have another lead in the first half, and then they fall apart in the second half. And I don't know, with these teams that I expect to win, until it's done, like 9-point lead, 5 minutes to go, I'm still like, yeah, but the Clippers are very good, and they could find their way back into it. And it's remarkable to me, Chris, that they fell apart to the point that they – gagged on a 3-1 lead against a team that they should probably beat in a 7-game series.
Well, I mean, the Tippers are an immensely talented team, but one of the things that we had been kind of overlooking is the fact that you didn't really have all of these guys healthy and playing together throughout the regular season. So, I mean, the first time that you had everybody healthy and available in you know, the last 5 or 6 months was when they got to the bubble and they got the playoffs started. Like, that was it. So, I mean, there is something to be said about this team not necessarily having the chemistry that you're looking to have and the momentum going into the postseason. And then one of the things that Rick and I have been pointing out throughout the playoffs is that the Clippers don't have somebody to orchestrate their offense. Their offense is a lot of one-on-one ISO ball, and then we'll just go from there. We're going to try to out-talent people. We're going to, you know, set up pick and rolls based on the matchups that we like, but you don't really have anybody that's coordinating everything. And that was the difference between them and the Nuggets, because the Nuggets have Jamal Murray. And he was lethal again last night, dropping 40 on him, 25 in the first half. And Nikola Jokic has a triple-double by the end of the third quarter. So, I mean, that's ultimately what it came to. One group of guys that were playing together and another group that was just kind of doing their own thing. And that's why the Nuggets were able to come back from down 3-1 in this series.
See, that's the scary part, though, too, Dave, is that Denver's already done it. Right? Like, Denver already came back from 3-1 down to Utah. So they know they're capable of doing it. And all the pressure going into this series was on the Clippers. And you mentioned it. I mean, they had a lead of 16, 19. They had a lead in the first half last night. And you could see them tighten up. You could see it happen. And to have your two best players go a combined 2 for 18 in the second half.
They were brutal. Paul George taking shots, hitting off the side of the backboard. Like, they were embarrassing.
And there's no excuse for that.
I think Kawhi is sensational, but I mean, that was awful. That performance, could you imagine what would happen? Because we consider these guys some of the best, right? I mean, there's been conversation, Kawhi Leonard is the top three player in the world, and, you know, biggest spot, nobody better than him. Could you imagine if LeBron gave you a Game 7 like that? We would destroy him for 2 hours. We would kill him if he gave you Game 7 like that.
He'd get destroyed. He would absolutely 100% get. And the conversation wasn't just best, you know, top three in the world currently. The conversation was that if Kawhi Leonard gets to the NBA Finals and wins it, that he's now should be in the same conversation as the greats of all time, which was, in my opinion, a little premature.
Yeah, I can see where you're going with that one. But had he got to the NBA Finals and won it and got Finals MVP, he would be the first player to win Finals MVP with three different teams. Like, that was the thing that we were saying, okay, that could potentially separate Kawhi from the rest of the pack and put him in the room with LeBron James as the best players on the planet right now. But, I mean, listen, it's a different standard when it comes to LeBron versus Kawhi or anybody else, right? So, I mean, to try to look at it, well, if LeBron had a Game 7 like that, we'd kill him. You're absolutely right. That would happen.
We would destroy him.
But it's a little bit different, though. Like, I guess the conversation about Kawhi being the best in the planet, that's just for shock value to me when people say that, because it's clear and obvious when you watch LeBron James play, there is no player in the NBA that you would take over him right now if you're just trying to win one game.
But you're right, but you know what? How long ago was it, well, Giannis, I would take him over, or Kawhi, I'd take him over? I mean, do you understand?
I think you're talking about people were saying that because you're trying to build a team, and those guys are in their 20s. That was that conversation. You're thinking about long term.
Yeah, but
I
still think there were a lot of people that thought that Giannis and or Kawhi were on the level, or maybe even some better than LeBron right now. And I just think that's foolish talk.
Yeah, but right now,
nonsense.
Okay, but right now in the moment, right? I mean, we had this conversation about Gerrit Cole. Everyone's freaking out about Gerrit Cole and what he does in the regular season. No, I don't care what he did during the regular season. Now, this is a different regular season because you need him and you were struggling to even be in the playoff conversation. I mean, that's how bad the Yankees were in that 20-game span. But the conversation around Gerrit Cole will be all focused on what he does in the postseason, because that was the expectation,
is that he's
the missing piece in the postseason.
Because you're supposed to lead us to a championship.
So have all the conversations you want. Who was that? I mean, Giannis being the MVP of the regular season, who cares? No one cares. It's about winning championships. And look at the teams when LeBron leaves them. And look at the Raptors when Kawhi left them.
That's right.
That's a big difference. LeBron leaves a team and they're a lottery team. Kawhi left and you still had a team that was the second seed in the East. That's a humongous difference.
That went game 7 of the second round of the postseason. I mean, it's a tremendous difference. But, I mean, Giannis, you know, was not great in the postseason, and Kawhi was not great. And then LeBron loses game 1 to Portland, and the sky is falling, and, oh, my God, he's not the same player anymore.
Well, people Kawhi's been good.
People want to tear him down so desperately.
Yeah, but don't get it twisted. I mean, Kawhi, outside of that, Kawhi's been good. I mean, but in the biggest moment last night.
Kawhi is great.
He shrunk.
But let's be fair. Last night, biggest spot of the season, he was putrid.
I don't disagree with you. He was bad. Lou Williams wasn't good in the series. Paul George, I mean, playoff Paul is, I don't even know if that exists.
Terrible.
I mean, that's not acceptable. To be terrible. As bad as they were in the second half is not. But, I mean, that's the risk you run, though, when you get to a game seven. I'm telling you, you cannot put yourself in that position, especially with a team that's already done it in this year's playoffs, that has nothing to lose. Compared to, the expectation wasn't that Denver was going to come in and win this. Like, you heard Jamal Murray after the game pointing out all the people that doubted them. Put some respect on our name. And they shrunk up. The Clippers shrunk up in the second half.
Big time. And he's right. Put some respect on their name. But still, if you ask 10 people, 10 real NBA fans right now, did Denver win it or did the Clippers lose it? I bet you 7+ would say the Clippers lost it.
Yeah, 100%, Dave. I mean, you wouldn't think a team led by Doc Rivers and Kawhi Leonard up 3-1 in the Western Conference semis would let their foot off the gas and let Denver get off the mat and come back in that series and win it. You just wouldn't anticipate that. I think the line going into yesterday's game was 7.5 points. So, I mean, Vegas expected the Clippers to win that game. And for them to go out there and have that kind of performance, it's inexcusable. But that's one of those things. I mean, you can't crown a team champion before the start of the regular season or before the start of the playoffs. That's why they go out there and play the games. And unfortunately, the Clippers didn't live up to the expectations. But again, we hadn't seen the best of what the Clippers had to offer the entire year, playoffs included. Like, this team hasn't played up to its potential. And so they eventually ran into a team that was playing good basketball, and that was the difference. One team was playing really, really well. The other team wasn't.
Yeah, it almost felt like the Clippers just expected Denver to just roll over. Like, once they got up big, that Denver was just going to roll over, and they never did. Like, it was just that on paper that they were so good. And the expectation was that they didn't play in the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. They got a 3-1 lead. It was just going to happen. Like, it's a foregone conclusion. It reminds me of what happened with Tampa with the Lightning last year. They have that unbelievable regular season. The expectation is that they're going to waltz their way into the Stanley Cup
Finals.
They don't
show up.
They get bounced in the first round, right?
They get bounced in the first round. It takes more than just talent to win these games, man.
Sure.
And you saw, I think you saw that with Denver. And Denver's a hard team not to root for either, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
They have two stars. They do. They have two legitimate stars on that team.
I like their coach. Jokic is, we've already said this, though. I mean, before the bubble even restarted, said that Jokic, he should have been in the MVP conversation for what he brings to that team. And because he is so good, it's allowed Jamal Murray during this time to really shine, man. I mean, what a game he had yesterday.
Well, he's sensational.
It's hard to believe he's only 23 years old, too. I mean, he's got a basketball maturity beyond his years, man. Just like the kid doesn't panic. And he makes a lot of great plays. That shot he made in the lane, that he was off balance. Like, that was just – it was unbelievable to just watch him work. And you could see that when he's doing his thing, the rest of the team responds. I mean, the Nuggets got something special, man. They've been together a few years, but they're building something special out there. Now, I don't expect that they're going to present any challenges for the Lakers. But, I mean, this is one of those teams that's going to be coming in the Western Conference.
Oh, yeah. You better close the series out, though. You go up 3-1, don't celebrate it. Don't spend that $5,000.
Well, I'm not going to – well, first of all, it's going to charity. But second of all,
I mean, this
is the first time that you've had a team down – Really? Really?
I'm with you.
You're a bad guy.
No, charity, yeah.
You're a bad guy.
Yeah, she actually works the scores. Her name's Charity.
Yes.
You're a bad guy.
this is my friend Charity.
Yeah. That'd be great. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I'm not going to say anything else. I'm going to let you go. Go ahead. You got it. This is all you.
Oh, how about that God. Bam Adebayo, huh? How about that block?
What a block that was, huh? Hey, can we stop, though, by the way? What, did you see this all over the place? That was the biggest block in NBA history? Really?
But that's what everyone does, though, man.
It's enough.
It's just like the Kawhi conversation. Everything has to be the greatest ever now. It was an unbelievable block, though, man.
It was a great block, but to say it's the greatest block in the history of the NBA, I mean, stop.
That was a big moment. I mean, it's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals.
It was great. I'm not taking anything away from it. But why does everything that's huge, that's monumental, have to be it was the greatest in the history of anything? Why? Why do we always have to go there so quickly?
Because, I mean, that's, I mean, Chris mentioned it. I mean, that's, you want people to, you want shock value. You want clickbait. It's like when you see a restaurant that says the best pizza in New York. Tell me you're not tempted to go try the best pizza in New York. If it's the best, I'm trying it.
Right. Well, if they say they're the best.
Exactly right.
Who am I to argue with that?
Let me be the judge.
That's right. Yeah, they are the best. All right, let's go to Train in the truck. Train, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. I think we lost Chris for the show. Dave, you're such a bad guy, man.
I'm kidding. I kid.
No, I know. No, but seriously, I think you guys are like on-air soulmates, man. I swear. Listen, I just wanted to say, I'm this whole playoff pee, Dave, you said it best. It's more like putrid pee, all right? I've been a Laker fan since 12 years old, and Chris, I'm excited. I'm a little nervous about Denver, but I think we'll be all right. But I don't know, this whole notion of like, he's great, you know, he's a great player. He's a good two-way player, but I've seen so many chokes from him lately, and it's like, dude, I know Kawhi is great, and if people are overreacting, if he would have won this and that, he lost. He played terrible too, but I know he's a good player. But I don't know. I just feel like Paul George is a little too overrated, and I didn't want him when he was a free agent a couple years ago, and this is exactly why. I just feel like he's a two. He's not even a 1A. I think he's a two. He has more downs than ups, and I can't stand it. I can't stand it, and I'm glad he's out the playoffs, and I'm looking for Denver now, and I'm a little nervous. But I love you guys so much, for real, man.
All right. Appreciate it, Train. It's hard to argue that. Right? It's hard because here's the thing, Chris. We've seen Kawhi Leonard at an unbelievable level many, many times. Paul George, this was his time to lead his team to an NBA Finals or at least a Western Conference, you know, Finals, and he couldn't do it. So I think more of the blame probably goes on him, but both guys, it was awful. That second half yesterday from that team was an embarrassment.
Yeah, it was all bad, but here's the thing. Paul George wasn't going to lead the Clippers to a Western Conference Finals. That was going to be Kawhi Leonard's job, but I mean, Kawhi Leonard had showed up throughout the playoffs. Pandemic P, just he hasn't been a factor. I mean, it's, you know, in the games where he's gotten it going, they really haven't needed him. So it's just one of those things. For whatever reason, we haven't seen Paul George play up to his potential. Now, you could put that on being in a bubble, being in a different environment, not being at home. That certainly changes things, and players react differently under those circumstances. But, I mean, Paul George has got to be better. The thing I'll stand by with this Clippers offense, though, they don't have an identity. They don't have anybody to orchestrate it. They don't have a lot of structure. And that's the surprising thing when you think about the coach in Doc Rivers, somebody that has built his coaching career on providing structure for his teams on both ends of the court. You see it defensively with him, but you don't necessarily see it on the offensive side. Again, it's a lot of one-on-one. It's a lot of hero ball. And when it comes to the postseason, being able to execute when you need a bucket, that's not going to fly. And that's the difference. When teams play a little harder, where defense gets a little tighter, you got to be able to have an offense and some structure in order to get you some buckets. You can't just be your superstars, you know, having to go one-on-one every single time. And I think that was the difference in that series with the Clippers and Nuggets.
Well, they don't have a true point guard, right? And I think that makes it difficult to get set up into your offense. And, you know, those guys have to go one-on-one, like you mentioned. They just were not capable of it. The thing that will be so frustrating is you had leads, Rick. You had these huge leads. You're up by, what, 15 the other night in Game 6, and you're up last night as well. And you had so many chances to step on their throat, and you never could do it.
No, you couldn't do it. I think the one thing that the Clippers lack at the moment is leadership. I think Doc Rivers is a good coach, but it's more than just a coach. You got to have leadership inside of that locker room. I mean, look at the difference in teams. I mean, the Clippers and the Lakers. Like, you know, everyone realizes LeBron James is the leader of that team. And, you know, he's 35 years old. He's in his 17th season. And this may be the best chance he has to win another championship. You got Alex Caruso skipping his sister's wedding. You know, how much did the Clippers really want to be in the bubble? I got Lou Williams going for wings, getting quarantined. Montrezl Harrell leaves. I mean, he missed a month. And then, I mean, so there is something to be said about the lack of continuity and chemistry, but I think that has to fall on the lack of leadership inside of that locker room, too. Like, you can say what you want, but I mean, I never really got the feeling like, it felt to me like the entire time the Clippers just expected, because, yeah, you know, all the talk about how deep their bench was and everything.
Because we're the Clippers.
Because we're the Clippers, we'll show up and we'll win. And then we'll see the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. And
but let's be honest, how many of us gave the Nuggets a chance of being able to beat the Clippers?
We gave them very little chance, and after four games, we gave them no chance.
Yeah. So, I mean, we all assumed that it was a foregone conclusion that that the Clippers and the Lakers would be meeting in the Western Conference Finals, especially when the Clips went up 3-1. But again, when you got a team that had done it before in the previous series, you know, they weren't going to quit. They weren't going to roll over, and I think that's exactly what the Clippers expected. And you know what? You got to tip your cap to them, man, because they kept fighting. They kept giving effort. And they found themselves in a Game 7. And in a Game 7, anything can happen. It's a flip of a coin.
Yep.
It ends up being a blowout. So, I mean, listen, the Nuggets, they're not going to be an easy out for my Lakers. Now, I expect this to be a six-game series. I don't think it'll go seven. But this is not going to be, you know, one of those situations where LeBron James can just roll a basketball out there and they're going to win.
No. But clearly, if you're LeBron, like if you're a Lakers fan today, you wake up and you think, we have to win this championship. You're right. You can overlook nothing, and Denver is a good team. But if you're LeBron, you have to be staring and saying, "There's no reason I shouldn't win my fourth championship."
Yeah,
so
there's
how
no.
Could you not?
This is a great opportunity. I mean, you got Giannis and the Bucks getting bounced out. I mean, you look at what's going on with the Eastern Conference, and the Heat go up in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals over the Celtics. I mean, it's a situation where it feels like this is as easy as a path to a championship that LeBron James has had in his career.
Yes.
When you think about all the teams that he's met in the conference finals and in the NBA finals. So we'll see what happens. But again, it starts with being able to take care of the Nuggets. And again, there are some matchup problems for the Lakers with the Nuggets. Like, I don't know who's going to guard Jamal Murray. I just don't. I have no idea. Like, he's a problem. But LeBron James is also a problem in terms of being able to match up. So we'll see what happens.
He's a big problem. Is it going to be Jokic on AD? Will they go back and forth that way?
Yeah, I think the Lakers will mix it up. It'll be a little bit of everybody. You know what I mean? It'll be a little bit of everybody in Jokic's face.
Did you see
you
that
could probably go bigger,
though,
too.
Game
where you could probably go bigger, though. If you're the Lakers, you probably go bigger,
Dwight?
Too. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think he would go bigger. I mean, you know, you could sprinkle in Dwight and JaVale in there. But, yeah, AD doesn't like to play the center position anyway, so he'll probably play the four. But, yeah, you could absolutely do some things with the matchup and flip-flop a little bit. It doesn't just have to be Anthony Davis on Jokic.
He's a bona fide star. Jokic is a star. The passes he makes, you see that behind-the-head pass he made late in the game?
That's what makes it so tough, Dave. He's tough with the ball. I mean, in pick-and-roll situations – he's a threat to distribute the basketball. Like, I mean, it was one play. It was a pick and roll. Jamal Murray got him the ball, and then he acts like he's going to go to the bucket, and he dishes it off at the last minute for a finish at the rim. Like, it's his court vision is unbelievable for a big man. There's nothing he can't do. He's a threat to score the basketball from everywhere on the court. And then the fact that he can actually pass the way he can, man, it's just – he's tough, man.
He's
he really
awesome.
Is.
And his like he never looks rushed. There could be three guys on him. He's like, all right, I'll take my time, find the open guy. Like, he's always composed. He really is a sensational, sensational player. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All right, Rick, all your Islander fans are now called in. They're all just waiting, lurking to talk to us.
They're excited. What do you want?
I thought it would be over today.
No, it wouldn't be over. Come on, huge win. Stop it. And Carlin tried. Carlin's a bad guy. He's a little bit because he's crazy. The Islanders take the 1-0 lead, and he's already asked me, where are we watching game six? This is what he does.
Is he an Islanders fan, though?
No.
He's messing with you.
Exactly right.
Right.
And it almost worked, too. I mean, how awful was that, too? The fact that the referee had to review that offsides. It couldn't have been. It was 5 feet offsides.
Yeah, way offsides.
It's ridiculous.
Way off. But you won the game.
No, I know.
Be in a good mood.
I'm in a good mood.
You know
in a great mood.
Excellent. Cool. Victor Hedman is one heck of a player, huh?
He's unbelievable, Dave. He's the best or the second best defenseman in the National Hockey League.
He really is.
And then
great.
You got the best, I mean, one of the best goalies in the Tampa's got a really skilled team. That's the end. They don't even have Stamkos.
No.
Which is scary.
At him. All right. Well, fortunately for you, they have Shattenkirk. 800-919-3776. Your
Odell's
Islander
favorite
fans.
Player.
What'd you say?
That's Odell's favorite player in the NHL.
No. We'll get to the Yankees in a little bit as well. Another big win for them. You know, Chris, Yankees are on the verge of catching Minnesota for the four spot, so they have a chance to have a first-round series at Yankee Stadium and not travel somewhere.
That would be nice, Dave. But I mean, that first series, three games, scares the hell out of me. It scares the hell out of me.
But it would regardless. Like if you're the one seed going up against the eight, it would still scare you.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, though. We talk about trying to have the series at the home stadium. I mean, how much of an advantage is that going to be? I mean, outside of not having to travel, I mean, there's not going to be any fans to speak of. So, I mean, it's still going to be daunting. Like that is the flip of a coin. In baseball, you know that you're only going to be as good as your next day starting pitcher. So, I mean, it's a scary thought because right now there are serious question marks as to who that third guy would be for the Yankees. Now, I think, the way that Davey Garcia has pitched, especially what he did yesterday, having another quality start, giving you seven innings a three-run ball, he's certainly making a case. But, I mean, you feel good about Cole, you feel good about Tanaka, but where do you turn after that?
Yeah, it's a good question. All right, we'll get to that in a couple minutes. Let's get to the phone calls, 800-919-3776, the playoff bubble as well, right? They're going to lock it down for after the first round in the second, third, and then the World Series. Let's go to Rich in Manhasset. Oh, they're all so excited. Rich, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, boys? Love this show. Rick, so fired up, man. Unbelievable win. I mean, this team, it's a storybook from the four-minute penalty kill to at the end of regulation, and the star of OT was huge. Definitely was kind of holding my breath in that first period with all those icings. That one sequence where Mayfield broke his stick, and there was a bunch of guys out there on a long, long shift. He was actually using Ander's stick, so it's not even the same hand there. And it was just unbelievable when storybook for Eberle after all the criticism he's gotten after not being able to find the goal, finishing it off. So,
but isn't that why you love this team, though? I mean, this is why I love this team, is for exactly what you saw last night, is because I don't care what the circumstances are. They play hard every single night. There's that consistency. You can tell that they are a really close-knit group of guys. They're well-coached, and God, are they resilient, man. I mean, that's just what they were able to do, especially killing that penalty at the end of the third period into the overtime. It's a testament to what they've built over there. It really is.
Yeah, no, they've done a great job. I mean, I'd love to argue. I'd love for that not to be true, but they have done a great job, and they're a resilient bunch. And he's a great coach. There's nothing to say about it. He's a sensational.
No, he's an unbelievable coach. No, he's. I mean, you saw that. I mean, you look at the difference between Washington, the Capitals now, and what they were with Barry. Plus, I mean, and you mentioned Hedman. Look at the difference. I mean, we're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Look at the difference in talent, and this is not to slight the Islanders. This is just fact. I mean, you mentioned Hedman; he's the best, if not. I mean, again, there's an argument to be made. He's won the Norris. He's one of the best defensemen in the league, right? Vasilevsky's one of the best goalies in the league. Steven Stamkos, Point, Kucherov. I mean, you name it. Like there is a huge discrepancy between high end talent on Tampa as opposed to what the Islanders have.
Yes, but even in watching the game, like watching it, and I'm not neutral, but watching it and wanting Tampa, but understanding how good the Islanders have been, you watch the game and you're like, Tampa's better. I mean, the Islanders might come back and win the series in seven, but when you watch it, you can tell. It's a different level of play, and the Islanders are scrappy, and they get as much as they can out of what they have, but Tampa's a more talented hockey team.
Yeah, and that's not even a question. And everyone in that locker room realizes if in order for them to win, they all have to play a certain way. And when they play that way and they limit their mistakes and occasionally do score in the power play, they're a tough team to play against. They're a tough team to beat.
Yeah, tough to beat them 4 out of 7 times. Al in Brooklyn. Al, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Rick, I don't know how you went to bed last night at the end of the penalty kill. I did the exact opposite. I woke everyone in my house up, got them downstairs to watch the end of the game. This team is proof positive of how important management and coaching is to an organization. It's the exact opposite of what my Jets have going on, and I think that every guy on that ice for the Islanders is buying into Barry Trotz's system and to what he's coaching. And that leads me to my question, Rick. What does this team need to add in the offseason to become an elite team like Tampa Bay? Thanks, guys.
They need someone to score goals. They need someone to... As good as Matt Barzal is, and he's great, he needs someone on that line to help him out. He needs someone that's equally as dynamic. And you saw, I mean, they try to change things up last night. They took Eberle off that line. They try to mix and match. But, I mean, Look at Tampa's number one line. That's really been the difference in the series, in my opinion. I mean, when you look at what Kucherov has done, Palat, when Point is in there, their top line has been as advertised, right? I mean, goals, assists, you name it. And, you know, Lee Barzell and Eberle together haven't been overly productive in this series. No. You need someone that can score goals. That's why Lou threw all the money at Panarin.
Mm-hmm.
He offered him $1 million more a year.
Could you imagine if they had Panarin right now?
No. No, they'd be right there.
They'd be right there.
All the difference in the world.
Be terrifying.
He needs someone that... But Barzell, you see how scary he is with the puck. He needs someone that when he gets... Like, puts them in positions that they actually capitalize and score goals. Because Lee, I mean, he is what he is. He's going to stand in front of the net. He's going to forecheck. That's who he is. He's not overly fast. I would actually like to see them put Pageau on that line with Barzell last night. I think that could work. I know Pageau's important because he's a center and everything else, but I think that could... Because I think Pageau could also take some of the pressure off Barzell defensively once they get into the defensive zone because he is a center. And then kind of have Barzell more at the, you know, at the point on wing in the defensive zone, save his legs a little bit. But listen, Barry Trotz has won a Stanley Cup.
He is something else. Alan Brooklyn, you're next up, Alan, 98.7.
Hey, guys. First things first. It's great to hear you guys in the morning slot. Second thing, and I hate to shift to basketball, I want to talk about Doc Rivers for a second. What kind of defensive game plan was that? These guys were getting wide open shots. It was pick and roll. Jokic played a phenomenal, but pick and roll, pass right to a open shooter. It was pathetic to see.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't great. But that's the. I mean, they had done a good job. They had done a good job in spurts during the series, right? They defensively, they had done a good job. And then all of a sudden, it's like the wheels just fall off. Like, okay, game's over, we're up 19, we're up 16, game's over. And little did they know that Denver was going to keep fighting. And that's
right,
exactly
they took their
what they
foot
did.
Off the gas continuously.
But you put that more on the players, or was it a strategy?
I think it's both. You know what I don't like about the team? And I understand why he has to do it, but they just don't strike me as the kind of team that has the personality that, you know, Kawhi can do whatever he wants, load management and everything else, and, you know, we're going to keep our eye on the prize. And he can do what he wants, but we're going to be focused on what we have to do. It seems like because Kawhi wants to do load management and everything else, now everyone kind of feels like, I feel like something like that can trickle down to the rest of the team. As opposed to what you see from the Lakers, where it's like LeBron's not taking time. Like LeBron is hell-bent on winning a championship.
Yeah, it wasn't the same Clippers team that was scrappy going up against the Golden State Warriors last year early on in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying?
They got bougie. Like that team
that took a couple of games from the Golden State Warriors, like it's not that it wasn't that same mentality from the Clippers. It's like they got Kawhi and they got Paul George, and all of a sudden now they're not the underdog. They're the team that everybody's expecting to win a championship. And they just didn't react the way that you would have anticipated them reacting. If they would have kept that chip on their shoulder that they had last year, who knows what kind of team you would be talking about this year. But that's not what this team is. And then I think Pat Beverly not being healthy early on in the playoffs also affected them, because Pat Beverly is a dog. And him not being around, him not being able to put his imprint on his team at the start of the postseason to kind of set the tone, I think that affected him too.
Yeah, but you do have, I mean, that they do have, I mean, they should have that mentality. I mean, Marcus Morris, I mean, there are guys on that team that should play with that kind of intensity. And they just, you saw it against Dallas, but you didn't see it. I mean, yeah, let's just think, too. I mean, if KP was healthy in that series, too, maybe that series is different.
It could have been.
That Dallas series.
Yeah, it could have been. But still, it comes down to the fact, give a 3-1 lead.
This is not just us. I mean, we get paid to talk on the radio. Chris played in the NFL. I played in the NHL. I mean.
I know. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you were a high-level tennis player.
That's true. Not like
coach
you guys.
Baseball team. Decent. Yeah, but still, I mean, you're
like
an
the
athlete.
Tables in Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. You're a degenerate, so you know these things. But people that get paid to talk about basketball, the conversation was, LeBron better find a way to end his series now, because the Clippers are going to finish off Denver and we'll have time to rest and wait for LeBron.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, that's a little off.
Do you remember when we did the week of the morning show right before KJZ took over? We did that week, you, me, and Bart. And we had all these NBA experts, and every single one of them said, because Bart was like crowing over it, every single one of them said, the Clippers are going to win the championship. Like it was clear and obvious to them that the Clippers were the best team in the NBA heading into this thing. They kind of forgot to follow through with that, but everybody thought that the Clippers were going to wind up winning this thing.
That's the hardest thing to do, though, as an analyst. I don't care what the sport is to. I mean, even when, why the it's why the draft is such a crapshoot. It's because you only go by what you see, like the talent, right? And what you don't know what, you know, how guys are going to react under certain circumstances when with pressure and everything else. You have no idea until you see it.
No, they did not react well, I'll tell you that. And Chris, we talked about this earlier, and you brought up a good point. Game three, first series, you say you win with Cole, lose with Tanaka, regardless of what order. Who is your game three starter in a win or go home game three right now?
It's a hell of a question right now, Dave, and I'm glad I'm not Aaron Boone because I don't have to answer it. I don't. But, I mean, that's what you're looking for these next few weeks. You got to find a number three that you feel pretty good about because, oh, by the way, in this bubble, there aren't going to be any off days the first couple of rounds. You're going to play games every day. It's going to have a regular season feel. So, I mean, you're going to have a reliable third starter. And I think that remains in question. So we'll see what happens. But, I mean, Davey Garcia looked good again yesterday, man.
Got great
stuff. Outside of the two mistakes, I mean, he had the one in the second inning to Vlad Guerrero Jr., and then he had the one to Gurriel in the fourth, that cement mixer. But, I mean, it's just the kid looks comfortable on the mound. It doesn't feel like it's too big for him.
Yeah, nothing seems to faze him. I mean, and that's exactly
what terrific.
You want.
Wish the Mets had a pitcher like that. I'm serious. Like a 22-year-old who every time he gets the ball, you're more impressed every time?
Yeah, we traded them all away. They're gone. We traded them all. No, I mean, I think, is the biggest nuance of the playoff bubble. And Chris mentions it, no days off. So, I mean, you're not going to get away with using three pitchers. Like, this is going to be like your staff. Like, you have to have your staff set. Your bullpen has to be deep because you're not going to get those days off. And in a three-game series, I would expect, again, if you're a Yankees fan, you're hoping that in game one, Cole gives you some length.
Sure.
Because who knows how much length. Like, Tanaka will be good, but who knows how long he goes. So you figure you're probably going to need your bullpen in game two. And then if you do have to get to a game three, now is it Montgomery? Is it Davey Garcia?
I got to be honest. In seeing those guys so far, Garcia gives me a lot more confidence than Montgomery right now.
I like Davey Garcia a lot. I just like his composure on the mound. I like him a lot.
I mean, if I'm a Yankees fan and you're telling me that Jordan Montgomery is trotting out for game three of a win-or-go-home series, I'd be terrified.
I think it would depend on
the matchup.
I'll
tell you what, when he's got it all working, though, I mean, Jordan Montgomery for four or five innings, I mean, he's pretty damn good too now, Dave. I mean, the guy's got a pretty good mix of pitches. I mean, he's got four good pitches.
I
mean, he's not going to overwhelm you with velocity.
I just don't see enough of it. Like, last time out, he was excellent. But prior to that, he's not been good this season.
No, Dave, I'm with you. I'm with you. And that's why I say I don't envy Aaron Boone, because this is going to be a tough call. I mean, do you really want to put that on Davey Garcia? I mean, listen, man, this is his first time in the show. It can be a lot, even for a phenom that comes up. I mean, look at what happened with Severino in his first wild card game postseason experience. He wasn't great. So, I mean, I wonder, is there any reservation about putting that kid in that kind of situation?
Well, hopefully you won't have to worry about it in the three-game series.
Yeah, hopefully we take care of our business in the first two games.
Yeah, take care of the first two and you don't have to worry about it.
But you're gonna need more than just two pitchers at some point in this postseason.
Yeah, you're gonna need Cole to be good. You'll need, and we've seen it. So I would imagine it's gonna happen again. Tanaka, and then you're gonna have Montgomery, Davey Garcia, and I don't even think Paxton's gonna be back. Let's be honest.
Doesn't sound like it, right?
No,
doesn't sound like it.
And then if you have your lineup doing what your lineup did last night. I mean, I think Derek Fisher maybe he been an undercover agent last night.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Like Jay Will said, he's playing for us. He was playing for us last night. Those back-to-back fly balls, what was
terrible.
It, Frazier and Gardner?
Dude,
I mean,
that
was brutal.
He would not. He would refuse to go near the baseball at a certain point.
He'd
been better with Bobby Fish playing right field.
So he was searching for Derek.
Tyler Wade is the one that got it started, though. Tyler Wade was the one. Being able to get that RBI base hit and then have the lineup turnover, you knew it was going to get ugly from that point.
It was brutal last night.
You know who gets it started? Let's be honest. We all know who gets it started. The best baseball player in New York, DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, he is
the
awesome.
Dude is legit.
All right, that's the baseball report brought to you by Mazda. Discover the family of award-winning Mazda CUVs, including the first ever Mazda CX-30, the versatile Mazda CX-5, and the three-row CX-9, all engineered to deliver confidence on the road ahead. Visit MazdaUSA.com or see your local Mazda dealer for more details. All right, Andy from Merrick. He's got hockey on a hump day.
Yes.
You're on 98.7.
Love the hump day.
Good.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Thank you, Ray. Good morning, DCR. Rick,
good morning, Andy.
Rick, I got a favor. The Rothenbergs have told me that if the Islanders win this series, I'm out of the basement. Maybe you can clear out some room in the garage for me.
No, listen, whatever you want. I'll get you a bedroom. Islanders want to get you a bedroom.
Oh, beautiful. All right, we got four hockey questions for you guys.
Oh, boy. Rick, you better carry it. You better carry it today.
Everyone knows that the Canadiens have the most Stanley Cup wins with 24. But can you tell me which original six team has the most Stanley Cup final losses?
Ooh, most Stanley Cup final
losses. You think it's the Maple Leafs?
No, is it the Bruins? I think it might be the Bruins.
Bruins?
I'm going to go with the Bruins.
You would be correct.
Nice.
Nice.
That's one.
Speaking of the Bruins, the great Bobby Orr won eight straight Norris trophies from 1967 to 75. What all-time great defenseman snapped that streak in 1975?
1975 for most consecutive Norris trophies?
Oh, God, I know who it is.
Yes,
there's
you do.
There's a whistling noise about this guy. I won't even say his name.
Answer it.
No.
What do you mean no?
Dave
Answer
knows it.
Answer it, Dave.
I'd prefer to whistle it.
Answer
it's,
it.
It's Dennis Potvin.
Yes, it
Answer
is.
Answer it!
That's a great question. Andy, right there, great question.
Speaking of great defensemen, Wayne Gretzky's 1979 season was his first in the NHL, but it was not his first professional season. Therefore, he did not win the Calder Trophy. What great defenseman won the Calder Trophy in Wayne Gretzky's first NHL season?
Great defenseman.
79-80.
Could it be Raymond Bork or
Calder? It is Raymond All Bork. Right. You don't even need to spitball.
All right.
Three for three.
Three for three.
All right, let's put Rico in the crease here. Tell me which goalie has the most career points, regular season and playoffs, with a total of 60.
Most points. Well, now you're talking. This is my. He's got 60 points. This is playoffs and
regular season career 60 points. And yes, he caught with a right-handed glove.
He caught with a right-handed glove. So it's got. Is it? I don't know why you asked me those, because I want to say Barrasso.
You wouldn't say Barrasso.
He caught like me? He caught with his right hand?
The answer to this question is a right-handed glove.
Like me?
Yeah, like you.
So is it Grant Fuhr?
It is Grant Fuhr.
Yes.
Four for four in a hump day, guys. Stay healthy as always.
All right. You can hear. Thanks, Andy. You hear how jovial he is?
He's in a good mood. Our team won. I mean,
the Islanders won. He sounds like $1 million right now.
I got a beautiful spot from up in the attic with the rodent strobe light. He loves it. It's like a discotheque up there.
God knows what goes on in that house here.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.